Chapter 45. Wiring Schematics and Circuit Testing. Wiring Schematics and Symbols. Terminology: the service manuals of automotive manufacturers include wiring schematics of every electrical circuit in a vehicle. A wiring schematic, sometimes called a diagram, shows electrical components and wiring using symbols and lines to represent components and wires. A typical wiring schematic may include all of the circuits combined on several large fold-out sheets, or they may be broken down to show individual circuits. All circuit schematics or diagrams include power side wiring of the circuit, all splices, connectors, wire size, wire color, trace color, if any, circuit number, electrical components, ground return paths, and fuses and switches. Circuit information. Many wiring schematics include numbers and letters near components and wires that may confuse readers of the schematic. Most letters used near or on a wire identify the color or colors of the wire. The first color or color abbreviation is the color of the wire insulation. The second color, if mentioned, is the color of the stripe or tracer on the base color. See Figure 45-1. Wires with different color tracers are indicated by a slash between them. For example, green slash white means a green wire with a white stripe or tracer. See Chart 45-1. Refer to Figure 45-1. The center wire is a solid color wire, meaning that the wire has no other identifying tracer or stripe color. The two end wires could be labeled blue slash white, indicating a blue wire with a white tracer or stripe. Refer to Chart 45-1. Typical abbreviations used on schematics to show wire color. Some vehicle manufacturers use two letters to represent a wire color. Check service information for the color abbreviations used. Refer to Figure 45-2, typical section of the wiring diagram. Notice that the wire color changes at connection C210. The 0.8 represents the metric wire size in square millimeters. Wire size is shown on all schematics. Figure 45-2 illustrates a rear side marker bulb circuit diagram where 0.8 indicates the metric wire gauge size in square millimeters and ppl indicates a solid purple wire. The wire diagram also shows that the color of the wire changes at number C210. This stands for connector number 210 and is used for reference purposes. The symbol for the connection can vary depending on the manufacturer. The color change from purple to purple with a white tracer is not important except for knowing where the wire changes color in the circuit. The wire gauge has remained the same on both sides of the connection, 0.8 square millimeters or 18 gauge. The ground circuit is the 0.8 black wire. Figure 45-3 shows many of the electrical and electronic symbols that are used in wiring and circuit diagrams. Refer to Figure 45-3. Typical electrical and electronic symbols used in automotive wiring and circuit diagrams. Both the conventional and the global symbols are shown side by side to make reading schematics easier. The global symbols are used by many vehicle manufacturers. Refer to Figure 45-4. In this typical connector, note that the positive terminal is usually a female connector. Tech tip: read the arrows. Wiring diagrams indicate connections by symbols that look like arrows. See Figure 45-4. Do not read these arrows as pointers showing the direction of current flow. Also observe that the power side, or positive side, of the circuit is usually the female end of the connector. If a connector becomes disconnected, it is difficult for the circuit to become shorted to ground or to another circuit because the wire is recessed inside the connector. Schematic symbols. In a schematic drawing, photos or line drawings of actual components are replaced with a symbol that represents the actual component. The following discussion centers on these symbols and their meanings. Battery. The plates of a battery are represented by long and short lines. See Figure 45-5. The longer line represents the positive plate of a battery and the shorter line represents the negative plate. Therefore, each pair of short and long lines represents one cell of a battery. Because each cell of a typical automotive lead-acid battery has 2.1 volts, a battery symbol showing a 12-volt battery should have 6 pairs of lines. However, most battery symbols simply use 2 or 3 pairs of long and short lines and list the voltage of the battery next to the symbol. As a result, the battery symbols are shorter and yet clear, because the voltage is stated. The positive terminal of a battery is often indicated with a plus sign, representing the positive post of the battery, and is placed next to the long line of the end cell. The negative terminal of the battery is represented by a negative sign and is placed next to the shorter cell line. The negative battery terminal is connected to ground. See Figure 45-6. Wiring. Electrical wiring is shown as straight lines and with a few numbers and or letters to indicate the following. Wire size. This can be either AWG, such as 18 gauge, or in square millimeters, such as 0.8 square millimeters. Circuit numbers. Each wire and part of a circuit is labeled with the circuit number to help the service technician trace the wiring and to provide an explanation of how the circuit should work. Wire color. Most schematics also indicate an abbreviation for the color of the wire and place it next to the wire. Many wires have two colors, a solid color and a stripe color. In this case, the solid color is listed, followed by a slash and the color of the stripe. For example, red slash white indicates a red wire with a white tracer. See Figure 45-7. Terminals. The metal part attached at the end of a wire is called a terminal. A symbol for a terminal is shown in Figure 45-8. Splices. When two wires are electrically connected, the junction is shown with a black dot. The identification of the splice is an S followed by three numbers, such as S103. See Figure 45-9. When two wires cross in a schematic that are not electrically connected, one of the wires is shown as going over the other wire and does not connect. See Figure 45-10. Connectors. An electrical connector is a plastic part that contains one or more terminals. Although the terminals provide the electrical connection in a circuit, it is the plastic connector that keeps the terminals together mechanically. Location. Connections are usually labeled C followed by three numbers. The three numbers indicate the general location of the connector. Normally, the connector vehicle, such as. Refer to list on page 518. Even-numbered connectors are on the right, or, passenger side, of the vehicle and odd-numbered connectors are on the left, or, driver's side, of the vehicle. For example, C102 is a connector located under the hood, between 100 and 199, on the right side of the vehicle, even number 102. See Figure 45-11. Grounds and splices. These are also labeled using the same general format as connectors. Therefore, a ground located in the passenger compartment could be labeled G305, G means ground and 305 means that it is located in the passenger compartment. See Figure 45-12. Refer to Figure 45-5, the symbol for a battery. The positive plate of a battery is represented by the longer line and the negative plate by the shorter line. The voltage of the battery is usually stated next to the symbol. Refer to Figure 45-6, the ground symbol on the left represents an earth ground. The ground symbol on the right represents a chassis ground. Refer to Figure 45-7, starting at the top. The wire from the ignition switch is attached to terminal B of connector C2, the wire is half a square millimeter, or, 20 gauge AWG, and is yellow. The circuit number is 5. The wire enters connector C202 at terminal B3. Electrical components. Most electrical components have their own unique symbol that shows the basic function or parts. Bulbs. Light bulbs often use a filament, which heats and gives off light when electrical current flows. The symbol used for a light bulb is a circle with a filament inside. A dual filament bulb, such as is used for taillights and brake lights slash turn signals, is shown with two filaments. See Figure 45-13. Refer to Figure 45-8. The electrical terminals are usually labeled with a letter or number. Refer to Figure 45-9. Two wires that cross at the dot indicate that the two are electrically connected. Refer to Figure 45-10. Wires that cross, but do not electrically contact each other, are shown with one wire bridging over the other. Electric motors. An electric motor symbol shows a circle with the letter M in the center and two electrical connections, one at the top and the other at the bottom. See Figure 45-14 for an example of a cooling fan motor. Refer to Figure 45-11. Connectors, or C, grounds, or G, and splices, or S, are followed by a number, generally indicating the location in the vehicle. For example, G209 is a ground connection located under the dash. Refer to Figure 45-12. The ground for the battery is labeled G305, indicating the ground connector is located in the passenger compartment of the vehicle. The ground wire is black, the circuit number is 50, and the wire is 32 square millimeters, or 2 gauge AWG. Refer to Figure 45-13. The symbol for light bulbs shows the filament inside a circle, which represents the glass ampoule of the bulb. Refer to Figure 45, 14 an electric motor symbol shows a circle with the letter M in the center and two black sections that represent the brushes of the motor. This symbol is used even though the motor is a brushless design. Resistors, although resistors are usually part of another component, the symbol appears on many schematics and wiring diagrams. A resistor symbol is a jagged line representing resistance to current flow. If the resistor is variable, such as a thermistor, an arrow is shown running through the symbol of a fixed resistor. A potentiometer is a three-wire variable resistor, shown with an arrow pointing toward the resistance part of a fixed resistor. See Figure 45-15. A two-wire rheostat is usually shown as part of another unit, such as a fuel-level sensing unit. See Figure 45-16. Capacitors. Capacitors are usually part of an electronic component, but not a replaceable component, unless the vehicle is an older model. Many older vehicles used capacitors to reduce radio interference and were installed inside alternators or were attached to wiring connectors. See Figure 45-17. Electric heated unit. Electric grid type rear window defoggers and cigarette lighters are shown with a square box type symbol. See Figure 45-18. Boxed components. If a component is shown in a box using a solid line, the box is the entire component. If a box uses dashed lines, it represents part of a component. A commonly used dashed line box is a fuse panel. Often, just one or two fuses are shown in a dashed line box. This means that a fuse panel has more fuses than shown. See Figures 45-19 and 45-20. Separate replaceable part. Often components are shown on a schematic that cannot be replaced, but are part of a complete assembly. When looking at a schematic of General Motors vehicles, the following is shown. If a part name is underlined, it is a replaceable part. If a part is not underlined, it is not available as a replaceable part, but is included with other components shown and sold as an assembly. If the case itself is grounded, the ground symbol is attached to the component as shown in Figure 45-21. Refer to Figure 45-15. Resistor symbols vary, depending on the type of resistor. Refer to Figure 45-16. A rheostat uses only two wires, one is connected to a voltage source and the other is attached to the movable arm. Refer to Figure 45-17, symbols used to represent capacitors. If one of the lines is curved, this indicates that the capacitor being used has a polarity, while the one without a curved line can be installed in the circuit without concern about polarity. Refer to Figure 45-18, the grid-like symbol represents an electrically heated element. Refer to Figure 45-19, a dashed outline represents a portion, or part, of a component. Refer to Figure 45-20, a solid box represents an entire component. Refer to Figure 45-21, this symbol represents a component that is case grounded. Switches. Electrical switches are drawn on a wiring diagram in their normal position. This can be one of two possible positions. Normally open. The switch is not connected to its internal contacts and no current flows. This type of switch is labeled NO. Normally closed. The switch is electrically connected to its internal contacts and current flows through the switch. This type of switch is labeled NC. Other switches can use more than two contacts. The poles refer to the number of circuits completed by the switch and the throws refer to the number of output circuits. A single pole, single throw abbreviated, SPST, switch has only two positions, on or off. A single pole, double throw abbreviated, SPDT, switch has three terminals, one wire in and two wires out. A headlight dimmer switch is an example of a typical SPDT switch. In one position, the current flows to the low filament headlight, in the other, the current flows to the high filament headlight. Note, a SPDT switch is not an on or off type of switch, but instead directs power from the source to either the high beam lamps or the low beam lamps. There are also double pole, single throw abbreviated, DPST, switches and double pole, double throw abbreviated, DPDT, switches. See Figure 45-22. Note, all switches are shown on schematics in their normal position. This means that the headlight switch is shown normally off, as are most other switches and controls. Momentary switch. A momentary switch is a switch primarily used to send a voltage signal to a module or controller to request that a device be turned on or off. The switch makes momentary contact and returns to the open position. A horn switch is a commonly used momentary switch. The symbol that represents a momentary switch uses two dots for the contact with a switch above them. A momentary switch can be either normally open or normally closed. See Figure 45-23. A momentary switch, for example, can be used to lock or run. Lock a door or to turn the air conditioning on or off. If the device is currently operating, the signal from the momentary switch turns it off, and if it is off, the switch signals the module to turn it on. The major advantage of momentary switches is that they can be lightweight and small, because the switch does not carry any heavy electrical current, just a small voltage signal. Most momentary switches use a membrane constructed of foil and plastic. Tech tip: color coding is key to understanding. Whenever diagnosing an electrical problem, it is common practice to print out the schematic of the circuit and take it to the vehicle. A meter is then used to check for voltage at various parts of the circuit to help determine if there is a fault. The diagnosis can be made easier if the parts of the circuit are first color-coded using markers or color pencils. The colors represent voltage conditions in various parts of a circuit. Once the circuit has been color-coded, it can be tested using the factory wire colors as a guide. See Figure 45-24. Refer to Figure 45-22, Figure A, a symbol for a single pole, single throw switch. This type of switch is normally open because nothing is connected to the terminal that the switch is contacting in its normal position. Figure B, a single pole, double throw switch has three terminals. Figure C, a double pole, single throw switch has two positions, off and on, and can control two separate circuits. Figure D, a double pole, double throw switch has six terminals, three for each pole. Note, both figures, C and D, also show a dotted line between the two arms indicating that they are mechanically connected, called a ganged switch. Refer to Figure 45-23, Figure A, a symbol for a normally open momentary switch. Figure B, a symbol for a normally closed momentary switch. Relay terminal identification. Definition: a relay is a magnetic switch that uses a movable armature to control a high amperage circuit by using a low amperage electrical switch. Refer to Figure 45-24, Figure A, a typical headlight circuit showing the colors of the wires. Figure B, a more complex circuit using colored pencils to indicate where there is voltage in the circuit will help diagnosis the system if there is a fault. Refer to Figure 45-25, a relay uses a movable arm to complete a circuit whenever there is a power at terminal 86 and a ground at terminal 85. A typical relay only requires about 1/10 ampere through the relay coil. The movable arm then closes the contacts, number 30 to number 87, and can relay 30 amperes or more. Refer to Figure 45-26, a cross-sectional view of a typical four-terminal relay. Current flowing through the coil, terminals 86 and 85, causes the movable arm, called the armature, to be drawn toward the coil magnet. The contact points complete the electrical circuit connected to terminals 30 and 87. ISO relay terminal identification. Most automotive relays adhere to common terminal identification. The primary source for this common identification comes from the standards established by the International Standards Organization, abbreviated ISO. Knowing this terminal information helps in the correct diagnosis and troubleshooting of any circuit containing a relay. See Figures 45-25 and 45-26. Relays are found in many circuits because they are capable of being controlled by computers, yet are able to handle enough current to power motors and accessories. Relays include the following components and terminals. Relay operation. 1. Coil, terminals 85 and 86. A coil provides the magnetic pull to a movable armature, or arm. The resistance of most relay coils ranges from 50 to 150 ohms, but is usually between 60 and 100 ohms. The ISO identification of the coil terminals are 86 and 85. The terminal number 86 represents the power to the relay coil and the terminal labeled 85 represents the ground side of the relay coil. The relay coil can be controlled by supplying either power or ground to the relay coil winding. The coil winding represents the control circuit, which uses low current to control the higher current through the other terminals of the relay. See Figure 45-27. 2. Other terminals used to control the load current. The higher amperage current flow through a relay flows through terminals 30 and 87, and often 87A. Terminal 30 is usually where power is applied to a relay. Check service information for the exact operation of the relay being tested. When the relay is at rest without power and ground to the coil, the armature inside the relay electrically connects terminals 30 and 87A if the relay has five terminals. When there is power at terminal 85 and a ground at terminal 86 of the relay, a magnetic field is created in the coil winding, which draws the armature of the relay toward the coil. The armature, when energized electrically, connects terminals 30 and 87. The maximum current through the relay is determined by the resistance of the circuit, and relays are designed to safely handle the designed current flow. See figures 45-28 and 45-29. Refer to figure 45-27, a typical relay showing the schematic of the wiring in the relay. Tech tip: divide the circuit in half. When diagnosing any circuit that has a relay, start testing at the relay and divide the circuit in half. High current portion, remove the relay and check that there are 12 volts at the terminal 30 socket. If there is, the power side is okay. Use an ohmmeter and check between terminal 87 socket and ground. If the load circuit has continuity, there should be some resistance. If OL, the circuit is electrically open. Control circuit, or low current, with the relay removed from the socket, check that there are 12 volts to terminal 86 with the ignition on and the control switch on. If not, check service information to see if power should be applied to terminal 86, and continue troubleshooting the switch power and related circuit. Check the relay itself, use an ohmmeter and measure for continuity and resistance. Between terminals 85 and 86, coil, there should be 60 to 100 ohms. If not, replace the relay. Between terminals 30 and 87, high amperage switch controls, there should be continuity, low ohms, when there is power applied to terminal 85 and a ground applied to terminal 86 that operates the relay. If OL is displayed on the meter set to read ohms, the circuit is open, which requires that the relay be replaced. Between terminals 30 and 87A, if equipped, with the relay turned off, there should be low resistance, less than 5 ohms. Refer to figure 45-28, all schematics are shown in their normal, non-energized position. Refer to figure 45-29, a horn circuit. Note that the relay contacts supply the heavy current to operate the horn when the horn switch simply completes a low current circuit to ground, causing the relay contacts to close. Refer to figure 45-30, when the relay or solenoid coil current is turned off, the stored energy in the coil flows through the clamping diode and effectively reduces voltage spike. Refer to figure 45-31, a resistor used in parallel with the coil windings is a common spike reduction method used in many relays. Frequently asked question: what is the difference between a relay and a solenoid? Often, these terms are used differently among vehicle manufacturers, which can lead to some confusion. Relay: a relay is an electromagnetic switch that uses a movable arm. Because a relay uses a movable arm, it is generally limited to current flow not exceeding 30 amperes. Solenoid: a solenoid is an electromagnetic switch that uses a movable core. Because of this type of design, a solenoid is capable of handling 200 amperes or more. It is used in the starter motor circuit and other high amperage applications, such as in the glow plug circuit of diesel engines. Relay voltage spike control: relays contain a coil and, when power is removed, the magnetic field surrounding the coil collapses, creating a voltage to be induced in the coil winding. This induced voltage can be as high as 100 volts or more and can cause problems with other electronic devices in the vehicle. For example, the short high voltage surge can be heard as a pop in the radio. To reduce the induced voltage, some relays contain a diode connected across the coil. See figure 45-30. When the current flows through the coil, the diode is not part of the circuit because it is installed to block current. However, when the voltage is removed from the coil, the resulting voltage induced in the coil windings has a reversed polarity to the applied voltage. Therefore, the voltage in the coil is applied to the coil in a forward direction through the diode, which conducts the current back into the winding. As a result, the induced voltage spike is eliminated. Most relays use a resistor connected in parallel with the coil winding. The use of a resistor, typically about 400 to 600 ohms, reduces the voltage spike by providing a path for the voltage created in the coil to flow back through the coil windings when the coil circuit is opened. See figure 45-31. Locating an open circuit. Terminology: an open circuit is a break in the electrical circuit that prevents current from flowing and operating an electrical device. Examples of open circuits include blown, or open, light bulbs, cut or broken wires, disconnected or partially disconnected electrical connectors, electrically open switches, loose or broken ground connections or wires, or blown fuse. Procedure to locate an open circuit. The typical procedure for locating an open circuit involves the following steps. Step 1. Perform a thorough visual inspection. Check the following. Look for evidence of a previous repair. Often, an electrical connector or ground connection can be accidentally left disconnected. Look for evidence of recent body damage or body repairs. Movement due to a collision can cause metal to move, which can cut wires or damage connectors or components. Step 2. Print out the schematic. Trace the circuit and check for voltage at certain places. This helps pinpoint the location of the open circuit. Step 3. Check everything that does not work. Often, an open circuit affects more than one component. Check the part of the circuit that is common to the other components that do not work. Step 4. Check for voltage. Voltage is present up to the location of the open circuit fault. For example, if there is battery voltage at the positive terminal and the negative, or ground, terminal of a two-wire light bulb socket with the bulb plugged in, the ground circuit is open. Common power or ground. When diagnosing an electrical problem that affects more than one component or system, check the electrical schematic for a common power source or a common ground. See Figure 45-32 for an example of lights being powered by one fuse, or power source. Underhood light. Inside lighted mirrors. Dome light. Left side courtesy light, or right side courtesy light. Tech tip. Do it right, install the relay. Often the owners of vehicles, especially owners of pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles, want to add additional electrical accessories or lighting. It is tempting in these cases to simply splice into an existing circuit. However, when another circuit or component is added, the current that flows through the newly added component is also added to the current for the original component. This additional current can easily overload the fuse and wiring. Do not simply install a larger amperage fuse. The wire gauge size was not engineered for the additional current and could overheat. The solution is to install a relay, which uses a small coil to create a magnetic field that causes a movable arm to switch on a higher current circuit. The typical relay coil has 50 to 150 ohms, usually 60 to 100 ohms, of resistance and requires just 0.24 to 0.08 ampere when connected to a 12-volt source. This small additional current is not enough to overload the existing circuit. See Figure 45-33 for an example of how additional lighting can be added. Refer to Figure 45-32, a typical wiring diagram showing multiple switches and bulbs powered by one fuse. If a customer complains about one or more of the items listed, check the fuse and the common part of the circuit that feeds all of the affected lights. Check for a common ground if several components that seem unrelated are not functioning correctly. Circuit troubleshooting procedure. Follow these steps when troubleshooting wiring problems. Step 1. Verify the malfunction. If, for example, the backup lights do not operate, make certain that the ignition is on, key on, engine off, with the gear selector in reverse, and check for operation of the backup lights. Step 2. Check everything else that does or does not operate correctly. For example, if the tail lights are also not working, the problem could be a loose or broken ground connection in the trunk area that is shared by both the backup lights and the tail lights. Step 3. Check the fuse for the backup lights. See Figure 45-34. Step 4. Check for voltage at the backup light socket. This can be done using a test light or a voltmeter. If voltage is available at the socket, the problem is either a defective bulb or a poor ground at the socket or a ground wire connection to the body or frame. If no voltage is available at the socket, consult a wiring diagram for the type of vehicle being tested. The wiring diagram should show all of the wiring and components included in the circuit. For example, the backup light current must flow through the fuse and ignition switch to the gear selector switch before traveling to the rear backup light socket. As stated in the second step, the fuse used for the backup lights may also be used for other vehicle circuits. The wiring diagram can be used to determine all other components that share the same fuse. If the fuse is blown, or open circuit, the cause can be a short in any of the circuits sharing the same fuse. Because the backup light circuit current must be switched on and off by the gear selector switch, an open in the switch can also prevent the backup lights from functioning. Refer to Figure 45-33. To add additional lighting, simply tap into an existing light wire and connect a relay. Whenever the existing light is turned on, the coil of the relay is energized. The arm of the relay then connects power from another circuit, or fuse, to the auxiliary lights without overloading the existing light circuit. Case study. The electric mirror fault story. A customer noticed that the electric mirror stopped working. The service technician checked all electrical components in the vehicle and discovered that the interior lights were also not working. The interior lights were not mentioned by the customer as being a problem, most likely because the driver only used the vehicle in daylight hours. The service technician found the interior light and power accessory fuse blown. Replacing the fuse restored the proper operation of the electric outside mirror in the interior lights. However, what caused the fuse to blow? A visual inspection of the dome light, next to the electric sunroof, showed an area where a wire was bare. Evidence showed the bare wire had touched the metal roof, which could cause the fuse to blow. The technician covered the bare wire with a section of vacuum hose and then taped the hose with electrical tape to complete the repair. Summary. The complaint: the electric power mirror stopped working. The cause: a blown fuse due to a fault in the wiring at the dome light. The correction: repaired the wiring at the dome light, which restored the proper operation of the electric mirrors that shared the same fuse as the dome light. Refer to Figure 45-34. Always check the simple things first. Check the fuse for the circuit you are testing. Maybe a fault in another circuit controlled by the same fuse could have caused the fuse to blow. Use a test light to check that both sides of the fuse have voltage. Locating a short circuit. Terminology: a short circuit usually blows a fuse, and a replacement fuse often also blows in the attempt to locate the source of the short circuit. A short circuit is an electrical connection to another wire or to ground before the current flows through some or all of the resistance in the circuit. A short to ground always blows a fuse, and usually involves a wire on the power side of the circuit coming in contact with metal. Therefore, a thorough visual inspection should be performed around areas involving heat or movement, especially if there is evidence of a previous collision or previous repair that may not have been properly completed. A short to voltage may or may not cause the fuse to blow and usually affects another circuit. Look for areas of heat or movement where two power wires could come in contact with each other. Several methods can be used to locate the short. Frequently asked question: where to start? The common question is, where does a technician start the troubleshooting when using a wiring diagram, or schematic? Hint 1: if the circuit contains a relay, start your diagnosis at the relay. The entire circuit can be tested at the terminals of the relay. Hint 2: the easiest first step is to locate the unit on the schematic that is not working or not working correctly. A. Trace where the unit gets its ground connection. B. Trace where the unit gets its power connection. Often a ground is used by more than one component. Therefore, ensure that everything else is working correctly. If not, the fault may lie at the common ground, or power, connection. Hint 3: divide the circuit in half by locating a connector or a part of the circuit that can be accessed easily. Then check for power and ground at this midpoint. This step could save you time. Hint 4: use a fuse jumper wire to substitute a ground or a power source to replace a suspected switch or section of wire. Fuse replacement method: disconnect one component at a time and then replace the fuse. If the new fuse blows, continue the process until you determine the location of the short. This method uses many fuses and is not a preferred method for finding a short circuit. Circuit breaker method: another method is to connect an automotive circuit breaker to the contacts of the fuse holder with alligator clips. Circuit breakers are available that plug directly into the fuse panel, replacing a blade-type fuse. The circuit breaker alternately opens and closes the circuit, protecting the wiring from possible overheating damage, while still providing current flow through the circuit. Note: a heavy-duty abbreviated HD flasher can also be used in place of a circuit breaker to open and close the circuit. Wires and terminals must be made to connect the flasher unit where the fuse normally plugs in. All components included in the defective circuit should be disconnected one at a time until the circuit breaker stops clicking. The unit that was disconnected and stopped the circuit breaker clicking is the unit causing the short circuit. If the circuit breaker continues to click with all circuit components unplugged, the problem is in the wiring from the fuse panel to any one of the units in the circuit. Visual inspection of all the wiring or further disconnecting is necessary to locate the problem. Test light method: to use the test light method, simply remove the blown fuse and connect a test light to the terminals of the fuse holder. Polarity does not matter. If there is a short circuit, current flows from the power side of the fuse holder through the test light and onto ground through the short circuit, and the test light lights. Unplug the connectors or components protected by the fuse until the test light goes out. The circuit that was disconnected, which caused the test light to go out, is the circuit that is shorted. Buzzer method: the buzzer method is similar to the test light method, but uses a buzzer to replace a fuse and act as an electrical load. The buzzer sounds if the circuit is shorted and stops when the part of the circuit that is grounded is unplugged. Ohmmeter method. The fifth method uses an ohmmeter connected to the fuse holder and ground. This is the recommended method of finding a short circuit, as an ohmmeter indicates low ohms when connected to a short circuit. However, an ohmmeter should never be connected to an operating circuit. The correct procedure for locating a short using an ohmmeter is as follows. Number 1. Connect one lead of an ohmmeter, set to a low scale, to a good clean metal ground and the other lead to the circuit, or, load, side of the fuse holder. Caution: connecting the lead to the power side of the fuse holder causes current to flow through and damages the ohmmeter. Number 2. The ohmmeter reads 0, or almost 0, ohms if the circuit or a component in the circuit is shorted. Number 3. Disconnect one component in the circuit at a time and watch the ohmmeter. If the ohmmeter reading shoots to a high value or infinity, the component just unplugged was the source of the short circuit. Number 4. If all of the components have been disconnected and the ohmmeter still reads low ohms, disconnect electrical connectors until the ohmmeter reads high ohms. The location of the short to ground is between the ohmmeter and the disconnected connector. Note: some meters, such as the Fluke 87, can be set to beep, or alert, when the circuit closes or when the circuit opens, a very useful feature. Gauss gauge method: if a short circuit blows a fuse, a special pulsing circuit breaker, or, similar to a flasher unit, can be installed in the circuit in place of the fuse. Current flows through the circuit until the circuit breaker opens the circuit. As soon as the circuit breaker opens the circuit, it closes again. This on and off current flow creates a pulsing magnetic field around the wire carrying the current. A Gauss gauge is a handheld meter that responds to weak magnetic fields. It is used to observe this pulsing magnetic field, which is indicated on the gauge as needle movement. This pulsing magnetic field registers on the Gauss gauge, even through the metal body of the vehicle. A needle-type compass can also be used to observe the pulsing magnetic field. See figures 45-35 and 45-36. Circuit tracer: an electronic tone generator tester can be used to locate a short to ground or an open circuit. Similar to test equipment used to test telephone and cable television lines, a tone generator tester generates a tone that can be heard through a receiver, or probe. See figure 45-37. The tone is generated as long as there is a continuous electrical path along the circuit. The signal stops if there is a short to ground or an open in the circuit. See figure 45-38. The windings in the solenoids and relays increase the strength of the signal in these locations. Refer to figure 45-35, figure A. After removing the blown fuse, a pulsing circuit breaker is connected to the terminals of the fuse. Figure B. The circuit breaker causes current to flow, then stop, then flow again, through the circuit up to the point of the short to ground. By observing the Gauss gauge, the location of the short is indicated near where the needle stops moving due to the magnetic field created by the flow of current through the wire. Refer to figure 45-36. A Gauss gauge can be used to determine the location of a short circuit even behind a metal panel. Refer to figure 45-37. A tone generator type tester used to locate open circuits and circuits that are shorted to ground. Included with this tester is a transmitter, or tone generator, receiver probe, and headphones for use in noisy shops. Refer to figure 45-38. To check for a short to ground using a tone generator, connect the black transmitter lead to a good chassis ground and the red lead to the load side of the fuse terminal. Turn the transmitter on and check for tone signal with the receiver. Using a wiring diagram, follow the strongest signal to the location of the short to ground. There is no signal beyond the fault, either a short to ground, as shown, or an open circuit. Tech tip: heat or movement. Electrical shorts are commonly caused either by movement, which causes the insulation around the wiring to be worn away, or by heat melting the insulation. When checking for a short circuit, first check the wiring that is susceptible to heat, movement, and damage. 1. Heat. Wiring near heat sources, such as the exhaust system, cigarette lighter, or alternator. 2. Wire movement. Wiring that moves, such as in areas near the doors, trunk, or hood. 3. Damage. Wiring subject to mechanical injury, such as in the trunk, where heavy objects can move around and smash or damage wiring, can also occur as a result of an accident or a previous repair. Electrical troubleshooting guide. When troubleshooting any electrical component, remember the following hints to identify the problem faster and more easily. Hint 1. For a device to work, It must have two things, power and ground. Often more than one circuit shares a single ground connector. Hint 2. If there is no power to a device, an open power side, or blown fuse, etc., is indicated. Often more than one circuit is being protected by each fuse. Hint 3. If there is power on both sides of a device, an open ground is indicated. Hint 4. If a fuse blows immediately, a grounded power side wire is indicated. Hint 5. Most electrical faults result from heat or movement. Hint 6. Most non-computer controlled devices operate by opening and closing the power side of the circuit, or power side switch. Hint 7. Most computer controlled devices operate by opening and closing the ground side of the circuit, or ground side switch. Step-by-step troubleshooting procedure. Knowing what should be done and when it should be done is a major concern for many technicians trying to repair an electrical problem. The following field-tested procedure provides a step-by-step guide for troubleshooting an electrical fault. Step 1. Determine the customer concern, or complaint, and get as much information as possible from the customer or service advisor. A. When did the problem start? B. Under what conditions does the problem occur? C. Have there been any recent previous repairs to the vehicle that could have created the problem? Step 2. Verify the customer's concern by actually observing the fault. Step 3. Perform a thorough visual inspection and be sure to check everything that does not work. Step 4. Check for technical service bulletins, abbreviated TSBs. Step 5. Locate the wiring schematic for the circuit being diagnosed. Step 6. Check the factory service information and follow the troubleshooting procedure. A. Determine how the circuit works. B. Determine which part of the circuit is good, based on what works and what does not work. C. Isolate the problem area. Note: split the circuit in half to help isolate the problem and start at the relay, if the circuit has a relay. Step 7. Determine the root cause and repair the vehicle. Step 8. Verify the repair and complete the work order by listing the 3 C's: complaint, cause, and correction. Tech tip: wiggle test. Intermittent electrical problems are common, yet difficult to locate. To help locate these hard-to-find problems, try operating the circuit and start wiggling the wires and connections that control the circuit. If in doubt where the wiring goes, try moving all the wiring starting at the battery. Pay particular attention to wiring running near the battery or the windshield washer container. Corrosion can cause wiring to fail, and battery acid fumes and alcohol-based windshield washer fluid can start or contribute to the problem. If you notice any change in the operation of the device being tested while wiggling the wiring, look closer in the area you are wiggling until you locate and correct the actual problem. Case study. Shocking experience. A customer complained that after driving for a while, he got a static shock whenever he grabbed the door handle when exiting the vehicle. The customer thought that there must be an electrical fault and that the shock was coming from the vehicle itself. In a way, the shock was caused by the vehicle, but it was not a fault. The service technician sprayed the cloth seats with an anti-static spray and the problem did not reoccur. Obviously, a static charge was being created by the movement of the driver's clothing on the seats and then discharged when the driver touched the metal door handle. See Figure 45-39. Summary. The complaint: the vehicle owner complained that he got shocked when the door handle was touched. The cause: static electricity was found to be the cause, not a fault with the vehicle. The correction: the seats and carpet were sprayed with an anti-static spray and this corrected the concern. Refer to Figure 45-39. Anti-static spray can be used by customers to prevent being shocked when they touch a metal object like the door handle. Review questions. Question 1. What do the circuit numbers shown on schematics usually mean? Question 2. What do the terminal numbers on an ISO relay mean? Question 3. What is used to control voltage spikes inside a relay? Question 4. How can a tone generator be used to locate a short circuit? Question 5. What is the difference between a relay and a solenoid? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. On a wiring diagram, S110 with a 0.8 brown/black means: A. Circuit #8, spliced under the hood. B. A connector with 0.8 square millimeters wire. C. A splice of a brown with black stripe, wire size being 0.8 square millimeters, 18 gauge AWG. D. Both A and B. Question 2. Where is connector C250? A. under the hood. B, under the dash. C, in the passenger compartment. D, in the trunk. Question 3. All switches illustrated in schematics are: A, shown in their normal position. B, always shown in their on position. C, always shown in their off position. D, shown in their on position except for lighting switches. Question 4. When testing a relay using an ohmmeter, which two terminals should be touched to measure the coil resistance? A, 87 and 30. B, 86 and 85. Circa 87A and 87. D, 86 and 87. Question 5. Technician says that a good relay should measure between 60 and 100 ohms across the coil terminals. Technician B says that hole should be displayed on an ohmmeter when touching terminals 30 and 87. Which technician is correct? A, technician A only. B, technician B only. C, both technicians A and B. D, neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Which relay terminal is the normally closed terminal? A, 30. B, 85. Circa 87. D, 87A. Question 7. Technician A says that there is often more than one circuit being protected by each fuse. Technician B says that more than one circuit often shares a single ground connector. Which technician is correct? A, technician A only. B, technician B only. C, both technicians A and B. D, neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Two technicians are discussing finding a short to ground using a test light. Technician A says that the test light, connected in place of the fuse, lights when the circuit that has the short is disconnected. Technician B says that the test light should be connected to the positive and negative terminals of the battery during this test. Which technician is correct? A, technician A only. B, technician B only. C, both technicians A and B. D, neither a technician A nor B. Question 9. A short circuit can be located using A, test light. B, Gauss gauge. C, tone generator. D, any of the above. Question 10. For an electrical device to operate, it must have A, power and a ground. B, a switch and a fuse. C, a ground and fusible link. D, a relay to transfer the current to the device. End of chapter 45.